The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg. It is finally Friday, Boat Smart time with Stefan Schmidt, and we also have Bill here from Key Marine. How are you both doing today?
Doing great. Wonderful. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yep. The weather is not going to cooperate very much this weekend for boating.
Oh, yeah.
Looks kind of bad, but that's okay.
A little bumpy out there.
I was out there last Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit, and it was rough coming back across the bay. It was nice going over. But it was not nice coming back. And I added something to my list I will tell you guys about. So it's pretty interesting. You are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. 850-437-1620 is the phone number. Boat Smart, sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine, 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487, keymarinecenter.com. Looking at their website right there, and you can go to that website and check out all the deals and things they have on at their store and their specials, their products that they service, the Yamaha, Mercury, Suzuki, and MerCruiser product. They can do repowers or service those products as well. So check them out on their website at keymarinecenter.com and also on their Facebook page as well, Key Marine Facebook page. Right, Bill?
Yep. Kylie's been working at getting all that updated and getting in the groove of keeping that up to date for y'all.
Yeah, they're doing a great job with that, and she's doing a great job also. I'm getting all kinds of information from Facebook. You know, when people advertise on Facebook or give information out, it starts popping up on your page, and I'm getting a lot of that on there, and it looks good.
That's
and
awesome.
I especially like the Employee of the Week part where she's posting that on there as well.
Right.
Yep. I'm the Marine Instructor. My name is Stefan Schmidt. I'm the Marine Instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola. Georgetown also has a Facebook page as well, and you can check them out at georgetowncollege.edu. We've been into summer school. Last week I talked about going into summer school, and we are now officially in summer school as of this Monday, and we've been in there for a whole week, and it's been fun, I'm telling you. A lot of people think about summer school. I know if you think back in high school, a lot of times people or students did summer school because they were behind or they're in trouble or something like that. Maybe they have attendance issues and stuff like that. But our summer school is a reward for doing so well. You get to come through summer school, and we start looking at things that you haven't done before or you're trying to learn more about. And we have fun in our summer school class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very fun. We've had a great week. I started 4 brand new students on Monday, and I'm getting them engaged. I've changed the way I do that a little bit because I have a spiel that I do when I get new students in, you know, PowerPoints and stuff like that during a normal season. But this summer school is the first time I've done this in over 16 years. So, you know, I haven't started new students in summer school before. This is the first time. So it was new to me, and I'm trying to get them acclimated to the class and things like that. But I'm doing it really easy and fun. You know, I don't want to, like, just throw them in there and that kind of stuff like we do during the normal school year. So I'm just kind of easing them in, letting them get out away from their desk, go out and see what the other students are doing and that kind of stuff. So it is a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying the summer school class. I think the difference is, you know, the students want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have students that want to be in class, and I was talking to somebody about this this week, and it's hard to understand why you would go to a class that you don't want to be there. It doesn't make sense to me, but sometimes that happens from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. You know, if you don't want to be there, you're not forced to be in my class. You know, that's a choice that you make. Maybe other people are making choices for them, grandparents or moms or dads or something. But sometimes you get a student that just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it just makes things difficult and things like that. But for summer school, we're having a good time. We're enjoying it. We got some field trips ready to go. Next Tuesday, we're going to Cape Horn Boats. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Do a complete tour of Cape Horn. If y'all don't know this, Cape Horn is manufactured in Milton, Florida. So I'll get some video of that stuff that we can share on the Boat Smart YouTube channel as well. So that's going to be fun. We're working on a 5-liter long block. Bill asked me about that. We got a Jasper long block from Key Marine. The customer purchased the motor from you guys. Mm-hmm. And Jace is my student that's heading that up. He is working on that motor, and he is just having so much fun. He's a very young man. I think he's not even 20 years old yet. Just wow. Engaged, learning, asking a lot of questions. He's painting the motor up, making it look pretty, cleaning everything up, you know, spending a lot of time on it, and videoing the process as well. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited about getting that motor together in the next couple of weeks. We'll have that back in the boat. We got our F40 Yamahas and our F250 Yamahas on stands now. Students did that. We actually ran out one of our 250s. Yesterday, our F250 brand new motor that we got from Yamaha, we purchased through a grant that the school purchased, and we're starting a process, Bill. We're doing a download, original download, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure if you guys rig a boat, do you do a download right off the bat on the motor?
Yeah, it gives you a starting point for sure.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm teaching my students to do that. Mm-hmm. Do a download, get a run on that motor so we know exactly what that motor is doing right out of the box, and that way it's always a reference point.
Yep.
So if the motor comes back, you can always, and have an issue, you can always go back to that original.
And also it can give you like a base point as well for running issues in the future, because you know more than likely that motor's running perfectly, and it can give you all that data if you do run files there or and a download. So it can be very helpful for the future. We do store those things and use them in the future.
We're doing the same thing too, and we're teaching the students to do that. 850-437-1620 is the number. Maybe you have a question or comment about a boat, maybe you have a question about the school, or maybe you just have something good to say about Key Marine or Georgetown Technical College and Marine Service class, give us a call, 850 or text 437-1620 is the number. So we're doing that. So you can see now I'm rolling, man. We're just having a good time doing all these things. And the students that just came in, they were able to watch us do the download, and they were getting excited about that because we got a laptop out there. We're talking to the motor, nice. And they're all excited, you know, about the things they get to learn as well. So we're doing that. And I got to figure out how I'm going to organize all this, because I do most of the stuff I do is digital. So I'll get some folders, and I'll put all these files in the folders, and my students will be able to log into these folders and document what they do to these motors through the life of the motor in my program. So we're working on that. The students are involved with that. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm having a great time with that. I did want to talk a little bit about, and I'm going to turn it over to Bill in just a second. Last Saturday, I went out on the boat, and we met some people on a jet ski. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we took some of their people on our boat to go to a location out over to, they called it White Island. And that's where we were spending, you know, part of the day. And I got two things to talk about real quick. One is I found my next, I do not like boat ramp. And that would be the one in Gulf Breeze at the 3 Mile Bridge. I do not like that boat ramp.
I thought you said that in the past, too.
Not that one, but that's the first time I've put in into a new boat ramp over there. I do not like it. And it's the way I had to put my boat in. The truck had to be in the water pretty good to get my boat off the trailer. I mean, literally, I kept easing it back, and it would not come off the trailer. You know how those are, right?
Right.
And I hate my truck being down in the salt water. I hate that. And then secondly was the waves are coming up and the wind blowing against the dock and the waves coming up into that ramp. I was like, I'm never doing that ramp again. You know, maybe people like that ramp. I personally don't like it. And that's probably why that parking lot's not full.
Right.
You know, I don't know why they didn't put it on the other side of that facility, because it would have been a better place for that ramp to go on the other side where that wind and waves aren't making that action coming into that. Because once it comes across that bay, it's moving in. They're mm-hmm. pretty good. And the other thing I learned was, and I talk about this a lot, and you talk about this, stow your dock lines before you leave. After you're leaving the dock, put your dock lines away. The jet ski that we have with us didn't stow the dock line. They put it down in the footwell, and they got away from it. They were out riding the jet ski while we were sitting at that little island, and they sucked it up into the intake of the jet ski. And I had to go tow them back to where we were in shallow water. And honestly, I don't like jet skis. I don't work on jet skis. I know very little about jet skis because I just don't want to work on them.
Right.
But there were some people at that beach that were riding jet skis. And they see me over there looking at the jet ski, kind of struggling with trying to figure out what was going on with it. And they walk over and they say, hey, you sucked up a line in your a rope or something in your intake. And we're like, yes. I mean, they knew what we were dealing with just by looking at what we were trying to do. And sure enough, the guy knew exactly what to do. We're able to flip the jet ski over and get a knife with a gut hook in it and pull that line out of there. And the guy was very helpful. So that's cool to have boaters around you that, you know, and jet skiers, of course, right, that know the product and they were helpful and that kind of stuff. And I actually learned something that day about jet skis. And well, I always knew they would suck up anything they get close to, of course. But that line, they had, you have to put it away. It got up in there and it caused the motor to start overheating. It caused it not to push forward. You know, there was no propulsion. And then eventually the motor, you know, would shut down because of all that. So anyway, I learned my lesson about that. And that's now, where we are.
Now you can add it to your curriculum, right?
Yeah. I'm not. I will talk about it, but my students aren't working on jet skis either. So, all right, Bill, that's enough of that. I want to turn it over to you. You and I haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks, so you did a great job on the shows while I was gone. I appreciate you doing that. And we're going to turn it all over to you and let you talk about stuff at Key Marine.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. And just first of all, I want to say hello to everybody. Glad to be back. And, you know, as far as the rope thing goes, that can be very dangerous, too. Even with an outboard, it can get wrapped around the propeller and cause problems. And it can even cause some major damage and some injuries there. So got to be, just like Stefan says, be really careful and stow your dock lines as they should be. And, yeah, it can be a problem for sure. And then, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to our Employee of the Week. His name is Colin Cassart. He's been with us now for about 5 months. He's doing quite a bit around the shop. He actually just graduated from George Stone at the welding class out there.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know you had said he needs to sign up for your class now. I'm not sure if he's going to pursue that or not, but we're glad to have him. He's doing a great job around there, learning the ropes, for lack of a better term.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and just being an integral part of that team that we have. I also wanted to re-mention, I know y'all have been hearing this a lot lately, but I'm excited about it. And it has to do with the short wait time that we have there. And really, a lot of people may say, well, you know, it's because they just don't have as much work. And we do have 6 technicians now. We've, you know, historically tried to operate with 5, but thanks to Stefan's program, we were able to get the other 2 to get up to 6 at this point. But we've actually done more business as of this point this year than we had done last year. And it's just been a huge thing in the industry about people having to wait for their boat to be repaired in the middle of the season because there's limited places to do it. Most people want qualified technicians and all to do the work. And so the changes that we've made, and it all works hand in hand with the management, the gung-ho technicians that are there pushing to change that. So if you bring me your boat, we're going to be on it within a day or two. And then that also helps a lot of people out. Like, for instance, just yesterday we had a local one of these charter guys come in. He had a problem with one of his motors. We're able to jump right on it. Not that we pushed anybody to the side because of him and gave him preference, which we like those guys to stay. We like everybody to stay on the water, you know, because it's just that time of year and you have to get it while you can. And so, you know, I'm the one that does determine when jobs are going to be done and when and all that. So, yeah, that's working out great. I'm so glad that that's working out. And so, yeah, come see us if you want us to work on your boat pretty, you know, real quick.
Yeah, when you think about the wait times, if you consider our season, like this weekend, it's kind of going to blow up and rain, you know. So you're going to miss a whole weekend. Now, if you have a place you take your boat to and you're out, they've got a wait time of 6 weeks or more, or, you know, somewhere a month. Let's say it's just a month or a couple weeks. You're going to have a boating season that's a lot shorter for yourself. So the wait time is important. We have a text today.
Yeah, this is both Smart 437 awesome. 1620. If you have any questions, who can work on my hydraulic pump on my jack/kick plate?
I think we had a call like that just a couple weeks ago. We can do that at Key Marine.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Just bring it on in. You might want to call beforehand, but really, you know, if you show up, we're going to create a work order and get on you within a couple days. Or we may even suggest that that one's not worth fixing or whatever. Whatever the expert technicians decide in conjunction with the management, we're just going to service that product, you know, in your best interest and for as inexpensively as possible.
Yeah, let's cover your business hours and location one more time for this person.
Okay, we're at 5621 Bauer Road. It's on the west side of town, way on the west side of town, right there close to the big bridge that goes on to Perdido Key, hence Key Marine. And so our hours of operation this time of year, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. We are open half a day on Saturday, 8 to 12.
Okay, and he does have a follow-up question. Should I bring the whole boat or just the pump?
It'd be best if we had the whole boat. I mean, that's kind of a trick question in a way. Yeah. Obviously, he has it off.
Yeah, if he has it off, you can bring just that part, but it depends on what type of jack plate it is. Some are built into the jack plate. Some have a pump internal of the boat. So depending on what it is, you know, he can call and explain to him what he has, and they will make a decision from there.
Yeah, and it's a lot of times it's best to have to be able to put it under load. So the weight of the motor does matter on the operation of that, too. So. Yep, and so we just going to roll with the rest of this?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go. Let's do the giveaway.
We really appreciate those call-ins, too, and we will stop what we're doing to answer those. We really look forward to those. Okay, so this week we've got a trivia question, and we were wondering, and most people would know this, is that on your fish finder in your boat, okay, there's a device that actually transmits and receives the information to determine the depth and structure and all that. What is that device called that's part of your fish finder system? And this week the prize is an OEM hat and an OEM Yamaha water bottle.
850-437-1620 is the number. Text that answer in. What is the part of the depth finder or fish finder that transmits and receives the depth reading? So what part is that?
Yeah. And a lot of people.
Answer and your first name, please.
Yeah.
All right. And a couple other things here we were wanting to talk about this week if we had time. And it looks like we got a little bit of time. I've been hearing it a lot lately because we are a repower facility about the advantages and disadvantages of going with DEC motors, which is basically digital engine controls or fly-by-wire. A lot of people know that. And, you know, that's just the way a lot of things are going now, where the shifting is done not by manual cables, but through electrically, you fly by wire. Also, the steering is actually going that route now, particularly with Yamaha. I'm sure the other two major manufacturers are working on it, but I haven't seen any product that's available just yet on theirs, but it's coming. Trust me, everyone's vehicle that you drive every day, most all of them have electric steering now, which is transitioning more and more to get away from hydraulics and the leaks and the problems that they have. And then as far as a slight disadvantage, and a customer the other day enlightened me on this, and it made me think a little bit as far as the steering part of that goes. He told me that he carries a bottle of fluid and the tube in case he develops a leak to get him out of a pinch if something happens with the steering. Obviously, it's happened in the past. So he's able to fill it up and kind of limp back by doing that. And he asked me, is there a way to do if you lose electric steering? Now, they do have a bypass where you can center the motor and, you know, go straight for a while. If you have twin motors, you can steer it using the motors. But that made me think a little bit. But I don't think that outweighs the advantages that are there for the electric. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot. They really don't have a lot of problems with those systems.
They don't.
And the trick is to make sure you have Key Marine set it up for you and make sure everything's working properly. The connections are clean and good and all that stuff. So, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of problems and I haven't heard of a lot of problems with the electric steering system.
And that leads me back to the main thing that would cause you problems there is something that we have to deal with every day in the marine environment. And like I've said in the past, that if it wasn't for this, you know, the cost of boating would be cut in half at least, is corrosion. And so they've gotten a lot better. Any metal, you know, you have to have metal terminals to make these electrical connections and all. And the ability to keep those connections dry of moisture and all that, because every metal that we've ever mined as humans and made stuff, dug it out of the earth and processed it, it's number one, physics is going to make it return to ore. So that's what corrosion is. You know, you just add a little bit of moisture and that's going to happen. So as the connectors get better, and it happens, it has to do a lot too with who does the rigging.
The rigging is very important.
Yeah. Who does the maintenance on it to make sure those connectors are seated properly and that they're, of course, dry to begin with, and some dielectric grease used sparingly, of course, in certain places can help with that. But if we don't have problems with connection, we don't have problems with DEC.
Yeah, I was talking to my students yesterday as we were getting the 250s running, and I was telling them the importance of the rigging of the motor, how important it is to get that right. Because what happens, you may not have a problem your first trip out, your fifth trip out, maybe not nothing down the road until 6 months, and then you start having problems. The example I gave them was to prime up the VST, the vapor separator, with fuel before you even turn the key on to make sure you have fuel to that fuel pump. What would happen if you didn't do that in the rigging portion of it, that fuel pump could heat up and eventually it will fail.
Yeah, and it does start making metal, and it can be a disadvantage. And, you know, Yamaha does recommend that you squeeze that primer ball every time before you crank your motor. A lot of people don't, just to ensure that that pump always has lubricant.
I do it every time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because that can really help you in the future. Yep. But, yeah, DEC is the way to go. It's, and one of the other disadvantages is it is a little bit more expensive. And it can be, for
it's
sure.
It's worth it. We got a winner.
Yes, Mark Dellinger says transducer.
That is it.
That's awesome.
All right, and where does he pick up the hat and water bottle?
Okay, 5621 Bauer Road. We'll have it waiting for you over there. We'll hold on to it for up to a month, and hopefully we see you over there and come pick it up.
Yep, speaking of that transducer, when you have your bottle machine on or your depth finder on, you need, and you're out of the water, and let's say you're doing some service work or something, and you have your electronics on, make sure you disengage your transducer. It is sending out a ping, and it really generates heat. If it's not in the water, it can't cool. If you're turning on your machine and you're out of the water, there's a way to disable that portion so you're not generating the heat to that transducer, so make sure you do that.
That's a very interesting point, because a lot of people do skip that, and it can be an issue for sure. You can just put your system on bypass or whatever, standby.
Yeah.
Standby is what it's called. And, and I think maybe we got another minute. I wanted to touch on one other thing real good. And talking about the advantages of taking your boat to a place that has a team, not just individual great technicians. You know, some people have one or two. And, you know, I've been around a lot of places in the past, as so has Stefan. A lot of places, you know, the better technicians, they tend to kind of try to hide their secrets and just, I don't know, for one reason or another. But at Key Marine, we've developed this this atmosphere of, you know, everybody is interested in every job and they're all forming this great team. You know, they don't have their blinders on. If there's a wild diagnosis going on, they're going to be part of it and creating this awesome team. So, yeah, that is definitely part of it, is having a great team. And it's not easy to achieve. It all starts with Stefan and the training that he gives his students over there. You know, some of the points he was making this morning was very interesting at that, and, you know, and getting them psyched out, you know, and getting them, you know, on that other level, where in making them realize that they can be part of the best.
Yeah, right, teamwork is about a minute left, so.
So teamwork is very important, and we try to get that teamwork going in our classroom from day one, where we're introducing students to each other and giving some background on that. Another little fact on the electrical controls or electronic controls: if you're used to mechanical and you get in a boat that has the digital, very hard to get used to. But once you get used to it, you will love it.
Yeah, there are a bunch of adjustments like friction and all that with the controls. But like you said, you don't have that feedback that you're used to, the resistance that you're used to feeling in that. But, yeah, like you definitely get used to it. But, you know, the only disadvantage really is that it does cost more. But the major advantages that you get, you're able to not only have the digital shift and now steering and throttle and all that, everything's talking, it's digital, and it's as advanced as it can be. Yeah, I lost my last little point.
That's okay.
I heard the music coming.
We'll pick up more on that next week. We appreciate y'all listening today. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the winner. And we'll be back in here next Friday to talk more about digital controls and stuff.
All right,
so we'll be here.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, PJ.